Want to bring Christian greetings to each one this morning as well. Appreciate the encouragement that we've received from the Word of God already. And encouragement in practical Christian living, as in being ready, an apple butter day. Okay, I would like to turn to the last part of the book of John and get a text from there and then start at the beginning and work through. One of the things that we're privileged to have in the book of John is the story of Thomas, which Thomas incidentally is one of my favorite Bible characters, because in some ways I can identify with Thomas in that he has got the bad reputation of being doubting, which I don't think he really was in a sense. He just wanted to be sure. And Thomas's life was really extraordinary. And he went to one of the most populous continents in the world, that is of India, and was there as a missionary and gave his life there. But Thomas was the one that said, "Except I see the print, and I will not believe." And when he saw those, he said, "My Lord and my God." That's the thing that really stands out to me. He actually said more than any of the other disciples. And the Gospel of John is the only one that records that story, as well as the last story, the last chapter, where we have the story of Jesus' interaction with Peter. But what I really want to focus on is John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, where he says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ." I've entitled it, "That Ye Might Believe." Believing is something that is more than a simple, giving assent to the facts. The word "believe" is, in its form, is found over and over again in the Gospel of John. And I would like to give a little assignment to all of us, actually. But let's look quickly. Let's see. I'll let you girls take the first chapter. It's got 50 verses in it. You look quickly through there, and you see how many times the word "believe," "believed," "believeth," all of those, any of those are found in there. You boys can do chapter 2. Look at chapter 2. Find out how many times the word "believe," "believed," "believing" is in there, any of those forms. Back over here to the girls' side again, you take chapter 3, the second bench. And the second bench on the boys' side will give you chapter 4. Chapter 5 on the third bench. And chapter 6 on the third bench for the boys. Those are just 6 chapters. And let's just see how many times the word "believing" and how it applies. Because, most of us have grown up in a Christian home. Most of us don't have any problem believing that Jesus is the Christ. That's what it says, right? That's not an issue. Probably has never been with us. It hasn't been with me. But James tells us that the devils also believe and tremble. So there's something more than just recognizing that Jesus is the Christ. There's something more than just knowing who he is, that he says that he is who he said he was. But there is actually something else in that word "believe" that is important. And let's see if we can uncover that this morning. Okay, so in the first book, in the first chapter, how many times is the word belief, believe, believed, that form found in there? How many times did you find? Anybody find any of them yet? All right. I'll give you one hint. It's going to start with, let me find my paper here. There's two times that are really important. All right, we'll give you a little more time here yet. Somebody has written, I just clipped this little article out. It says, you know that airplanes take off every day all around the world. People fasten their seat belts and let a complete stranger take them 32,000 feet into the air. You also know that the vast majority survive. With your feet on the ground, you can say, I believe I would survive if I flew in an airplane. That's not biblical faith. That's just mental assent and acceptance of the facts. The Bible says the demons believe in this way. Biblical faith is different. Biblical faith is trust. It's putting your eternal destiny in the hands of this Jesus who claims to be the only Savior in the world. And then I would like to look at John 5. Well, those of you that have the fifth chapter, I'll say this. One of those places is in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Believing is something that's going to determine our eternal destiny, the right kind of belief. We can have differences of opinion on many things. Even there's some people today that will believe in a flat earth. And they're actually intelligent people, normally. But if anybody here believes in a flat earth, I'm going to say that you can probably still be a Christian. But I really, really wonder about some other things. There's people that believe in a flat Bible. And that's not going to be a matter of salvation. There's people that believe in different, very different views in eschatology. And that's not going to be so important. But if we don't believe that, if our belief is only a belief that Jesus is the Christ, and we're not trusting him for our salvation, that is disaster. We'll never get past that. Our belief needs to go beyond that. A person who believes is one who puts his trust in God for his salvation. All right, chapter 1, you girls. How many times did you find the word believe? Okay, Rebecca or Rachel, which one are you? Okay, how many times? Three times. You got it exactly right. Okay. The rest of you agree? All right. Should have said that. Should have found out before I told her that. But yes, and they're very important ones. Let's read it starting at the beginning. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was bearing witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of God, man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That ye may believe. Jesus, John used that phrase in his gospel at the end of his letter. These are written that ye may believe. And he was writing to people that were in the know. And then he begins his letter with that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. And I think that is beautiful because it opens it up to all of us, even down through time for us today. All right, now, chapter 2. How many times did you find the word believe? Caleb? Excuse me? Three times. Okay, where's one time? All right. I'm going to say you're right. First one is in verse 11, and then 22 and 23. And this is the, if we remember, and if you're there, you can see that this was Jesus doing the miracles, and he began his ministry in Cana of Galilee, and he turned the water into wine at the wedding. And then later, in verse 22, it says, when he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had said. It was after Jesus had driven out the money changers, and he made some comments on the temple that they were that they believed. And it says in verse 23, and when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, the feast day, many believed on his name when they saw the miracles that he did. Believed. These are written that ye may believe, and that believing you might have life through his name. I think it's a tremendous responsibility or privilege, or what do we have? What word can we use to say that we are living in a time when we have this opportunity to have Jesus as not just looking at him as the Savior of the world, but that we believe that he is our Savior and our Messiah and the one that has come for us. All right, chapter 3. What do we find in chapter 3? How many times do we find the word believe in chapter 3? Okay. I'm sorry? 9 times, okay. Okay, all of us will remember chapter 3 as a chapter when Jesus has his interaction with Nicodemus, and he says some very, very important things. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount was talking to his disciples, and the multitudes were around him, and they no doubt more than his disciples heard all those words that Jesus said. When Jesus and Nicodemus were talking, it was just the two of them. It seems very clear that it was at night, and Nicodemus called Jesus and had this conversation with him, and here are some of the words that he says. Verse 15, whosoever believeth on him should not have perished but have everlasting life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Notice the beautiful promise that Jesus says in the verse 16, and then also notice the contrasting wrath that is accompanied by the end of the chapter in verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's wonderful. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so we see there's that the matter of believing, the matter of having the right belief, is not a light thing, but it has eternal consequences. If we would have a path to walk, and we would give somebody if we had directions about how to walk this path, and they say, if you step off of this, you will certainly die. And that person would say, well, let's test this thing. And he would step off of it, step over the precipice, and certainly die. Well, you know, that's a life. And we're all going to die sometime anyhow, so maybe it doesn't really matter a lot. And yet, we would think that would be extremely foolish if someone was going to certainly die, and he was told that, and he would still take the chance, and he would go. But this is not taking a chance. This is clear that unless we believe that Jesus is our salvation, that we have the wrath of God abiding on us. So it's not as good as we can be. It's not simply doing the best we can and God will take up the slack. It's simply trusting him and then believing him, obeying him, and it comes in that order. That's what's important. All right, chapter 4. What do we have there? How many times? Seven times. We haven't kept track of how many, we haven't totaled us how many times there is up to chapter 4, but chapter 4 is a very beautiful scripture about Jesus meeting the woman at the well, and he explains that she recognized him as someone special, and finally she recognizes him as the Messiah. And she is so excited about that. You know, the word gospel is good news. And the gospel is that it is good news. And certainly it should be a blessing to us, and it should be a privilege for us to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus. All right. Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 39. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. You know how the story is, how she rushed back into the city and tried to get people to come out to hear Jesus, and her testimony was that he told me all things that I did. And it says there were a lot of people influenced by her testimony, but there were a lot more that came out. And many more, it says, believed because of his own word. Jesus, they came out to hear Jesus himself, and they said, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And there's a lot more in that chapter as well. And I think you found all of those. All right, chapter 5. How many do we have in chapter 5? Anybody? Seven? Okay. And where is the first one? Okay. The first one, I think, I already read it. It was in chapter, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It's interesting to me, and this is something that I noticed, I think, for the first time in my study here, is that he speaks of going from death to life. Most of the time we speak of going from life to death. But I'm reminded of a little story that I read here some time ago about big bus wreck. This is all a story to get a reaction from written in Farm Talk. So it was under the comic section there. But this bus wreck in Iowa happened years ago. It was a busload of politicians, and the farmer quickly went out and buried them. And the investigators came out the next day, and they said, "Are you sure they were all dead?" And he says, "Oh yeah," he said. "They were," he said, "some of them claimed they weren't, but you know how they lie." You know, story, of course. But you know, you will never pretend to be alive and be, I mean, you can never pretend that it just doesn't happen, does it? You know, if somebody, I don't care what he says, if he's talking, he's not dead. And so that's just an impossibility. But Jesus is saying that those that are dead are going to hear his voice, and those that hear are going to live. And so he was talking to his people, to people that could hear, people that were not physically dead, but they were dead in another way. And he was saying that those that were dead in one way could still hear. I know that hearing is one of your last senses that leave when your person is unconscious. And I know I was unconscious one time and I could still hear. And I remember what I heard. But I had fallen off someplace and had hit my head real hard, and they were getting some help around. I was unable to move or do anything. I couldn't even open my eyes, but I could hear. And I could hear people talking. And that's what Jesus is saying. Those people that are dead will hear, and those that hear, and he was saying more than just hear, more that do, those people are going to live. And so trusting Jesus for our salvation is just incredibly the life that we must have, and what that will bring. All right, we got one more, chapter 6. How many do we have in chapter 6? All right. Did I hear? Eight of them. All right, let me see. I have 1, 2, 3. That's what I've counted as well. I counted 85 times in the book of John that he uses the word believe, belief, or believed in that. It's found in all the chapters except for chapter 15, chapter 19, and chapter 21. Every chapter in the book of John is an incredible chapter in itself. You can take those stories and all of those in itself. But this is spread throughout with the exception of those few chapters. In chapter 6, we have the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And then he says in verse 35, he says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." I think that's very interesting. After he fed them literal bread and fish, and he makes this comment that, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." I believe that he's saying that he has the answer to meet the hungers that man has. And Sermon on the Mount, we have one of the Beatitudes says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And this morning, I believe one way that we can see if we are alive is if we have that hunger, if we can identify a hunger, and if Jesus is offering something in it, and we are hungry for that, it shows a sign of life. And if we partake of it, Jesus says, "Those that hear shall live." And so I believe that's a definite sign of life if there's hunger. And he says he will supply that. He will meet that need, and he will be that bread for us. Verse 47, I'll start with verse 35, verse 36. "But I say unto you that they also have seen me and believe not." And this is the verse 40. "This is the will of him that sent me. Everyone that has which seeth the Son believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The chapter 6 is a very long chapter. It has at least 69 verses, maybe more. But Jesus has a discourse with his disciples there, and there were some that they were finding the way that he was saying was tough, and they were turning their back on him. But he had reassurance from his disciples there, and a fresh commitment. Let me just read one little bit here. Verse 66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked nor with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, I was so blessed in seeing that, reading what Peter's comments were there. "We are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And their commitment, his commitment, kept him through the hour of temptation and the trial. And, he made mistakes, but he was sure that Jesus was the Christ, and he was going to trust him there. He learned to trust him eventually for his salvation. All right, chapter 7 is a signature chapter as well. There's something in chapter 7 that is not in any other, not exactly like it says it in any other place. And I just think it's beautiful. Jesus is explaining what the Holy Spirit was going to do in a person's life. And we sang that song, "The Comforter Has Come." And it says, it starts out that song, and it was, I loved the way that it was sung this morning. "Oh, spread the joyful sound." And it was beautiful. But Jesus said in verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." You know, if we just take those two verses, or that one verse, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." I think it's a comment on what's going to happen to a person's life, that it's not going to be internalized entirely, but his life is going to be a blessing to those around him, and that it's going to be like water, which is refreshing, which is cleansing, which is something that is a blessing. And it's also very interesting that there was a dispute in the last part of this chapter. In verse 48, it says, "Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him?" And this was supposed to be a test of whether Jesus was truly the Messiah or not. This was testing to see what do the Pharisees say? What do the rulers say? And they didn't. And so they were thinking that it was going to, that was proof that he was a farce, and how wrong they were. I just love this scripture where it says that the officers sent them to take Jesus, and they came back, and they didn't. I'll just read this. "Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto him, Why have ye not brought him?" Verse 44, "And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him?" You know, it's so interesting to see that the officers that were sent to take Jesus, the way he spoke was so something that they had just never heard. And their only defense was, "No, we didn't bring him. Never man spake like this man." I think that is so interesting. All right. Goes on. Chapter 8, we have something that is written for us today. "And said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." You know, believing on Christ and believing him for salvation is going to be, is going to follow up with a continuation in his word and his him being important to our life. Chapter 9, we have a story of the blind man being healed. And Jesus came to him. Verse 35 is, "Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found him, he said, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And verse 38, it says, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. You know, There he found the answer for his, there he found not only sight for his eyes, but also bread for his soul in believing on Jesus. And, you know, I think that that's the thing, the intent that Jesus wanted to do here with the intent of the gospel was that there's signs that are given that we might believe, and that it might increase our faith, that it might cause us to grow. Faith is meant to grow. Jesus said, if you have faith as the size, as a grain of mustard seed, that he can do great things with that kind of faith, but simply because faith is intended to grow. And so I believe that's the way it is for us. If we have started right, believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Savior of the world, that he is our Savior, that faith can grow to tremendous in tremendous ways and be a blessing to those around us. And all of these things can become true, that our, out of our life can flow living water, water that is refreshing to other people to drink from. And the thing that where how it can grow is belief becomes trust, and trust becomes obedience, and obedience or and trust and love, and that transforms and that transfers into obedience. All of those things are connected, but they come in a certain order, and we can't do anything on our own that will save us without recognizing that Christ is the Messiah, and he's the Savior of the world, and he's our Savior this morning. So let's, that you may believe, these signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And that is the growth that we want to experience, and that is life in his name.